Welcome to the Faith-Based Business Podcast with your host, Pastor Bob Thibodeau. On this podcast, we interview fellow entrepreneurs who are willing to share their stories, their trials, and their triumphs in business, all in an effort to help you avoid the same obstacles and to achieve success faster. But at all times, continue to rely on our faith to see us through to victory. Now, with today's guest, here is your host, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed you're joining us. In this day and age in which we live, medical advancements are coming on us at a rapid pace, faster, more detailed. And because of this, medical facilities run sort of a, let's call it a production line of people in and out of the offices and hospitals. Gone are the days when doctors actually knew their patients and the patients trusted the doctor because they believed that he or she understood them and didn't treat them as a line item on a spreadsheet. Now, there are doctors out there that do have those kinds of relationships with their patients. And I've been fortunate enough to find one where I live that I've been with now for 20 plus years. Wow. Amen. Our guest today is one that has made it his specialty to treat his patients with kindness, respect, and dignity. And if I lived in East Texas, he would be my doctor. Praise God. Dr. Charles Page has been practicing surgery for over 25 years. He's journeyed with thousands of patients in his time. He's also the author of a book called A Spoonful of Courage for the Sick and Suffering, which is an absolutely fabulous book, and the book Spoonful of Courage, Equations to Find Grace in Life's Challenges. His ministry is called Spoonful of Courage as well, which we'll be getting into today. As an ER physician, Dr. Charles Page has seen a lot of things happen to people over the years, and he's known as the best guy to see on the worst day of your life. Amen. Help me welcome to the program the best guy to see on the worst day of your life, Dr. Charles Page, also known as Dr. Chuck. Doc, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, Bob, it's an honor. Let me just preface this by saying, you know, I may be the best guy to see on the worst day of your life, but my wife is the best person to see any day of your life. You know, when we go places, I mean, it's really funny. You know, they all flock around my wife and then they look at me, you know, they're like, who is this? Oh. What do we do with this guy? You know, you probably have the same, you know, probably the same challenge, you Amen. Know, so, Amen. But it's good to be here with you.
Amen. You were with us way back in 2019, episode number 618 or in that wow. area. That was 5 years ago and almost 900 episodes ago. Praise wow. God. How have you been, brother?
Man, I've been good. Just kind of rolling along, you know, still, you know, practicing surgery every day and trying to pay the bills. You know, as you know, since post-COVID, the medical climate has really changed. Of course, the whole culture's changed post COVID, but really, you know, as I'm moving into a different season of life with writing and, you know, still trying to, you know, pay the bills and get my four kids through college and all those things, you know, it's getting harder and harder, you know, to practice and keep my practice afloat. But fortunately, you know, once again, keeping the main thing has always kind of kept me going. And like you talked about, it really, it's funny where our healthcare system is now. It's so disordered. And I see it every day. You know, people, they come in and, you know, because of kind of the piecemeal fashion and, you know, the click the box medicine and kind of the shift work mentality, there's really a loss of relationship that's really yeah. affecting not only our healthcare system, but it's affecting people individually. They're just confused.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, for those that may not have heard our past conversation, because it's been a while, can you tell us in your own words, who is Dr. Charles Page?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm a born again Christian. I'm a surgeon. I'm married to Joanna. We've been married for almost 29 years now, and we Praise have five kids, four in college. So we got a lot of things on our plate. I'm still in private practice. I'm a dinosaur in a sense. I'm not an employed physician, which it works for me. We're seeing a trend of more and more physicians becoming employed physicians, but it's worked for me. I do a lot of medical mission work if I can, and I do a lot of stuff in Africa, training Man. Residents. I also have medical students, and it's one of the things that gives me a lot of encouragement is to be able to influence this younger group of doctors. It's funny how doctors are being trained today. They're being trained very differently than I was trained. So it's able to kind of give them a different perspective on you know, kind of the art of medicine and what it means to be a physician.
Amen. Amen. And if I remember correctly, last time you were on, I think you mentioned something about you being a coffee addict. Are you still a coffee connoisseur?
Yes, sir. I had a pot of coffee this morning. I usually get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's where I have my quiet time
Amen. Me
and
too.
have that protected time. And I typically drink about a coffee, a pot of coffee. You know, I'm working on a talk. I'll be going to New York next week to speak at a
Amen.
church, and I'm also writing a book. And you know, so yeah, so I drink a lot of coffee. I usually stop about 2 o'clock because you know, coffee lasts about 6 hours in your body, and then that rolls over into your sleep. And so I've kind of learned to rhythm, but still, man, I thrive on coffee. So
Amen. Amen.
love it.
Yeah, me too. And when we get done, I'll tell you a quick story about that. I don't want to tell it on the air, but yeah, I'm the same way. 5:15, I'm up. That's my quiet time. And I myself still go through about a pot of coffee a day. On a good day, a pot and a half. But and I usually knock it off about 3:30 or so. Just say, okay, that's the last one. Praise God. Now, in the opening, I mentioned having a physician you can trust, someone who actually cares about you. And I know you call your medical practice a business, combining business and ministry together. Can you
Yeah, business.
explain that term for us and how you use that to build that type of relationship with your patients?
Well, you know, Bob, on one hand, you know, it is a business. We have to pay the bills. I have six employees I have to pay. But the overarching goal, of course, is not to sell people something, it's to serve them, you know? And so I know that's true with all the things that you're doing with your podcast. I mean, it's about serving people. And so and so much of that is kind of is just the foundation of that is trust, and it's relational. It's very relational. I know that when people come to listen to your podcast, they trust you, and they know that you're going to bring people on your programs that are going to, you know, give inspirational, encouraging information that they need. And so that's the kind of the goal too. And as I'm getting older in medicine, the more I realize just how foundational nurturing trust is with your patients or anything that you're in, any kind of business that you're in or enterprise, is that it's really important that people trust you.
Yeah, amen. Amen. We were recently on vacation down there in Central Texas, and my wife had forgotten one of her prescriptions. And
Oh my goodness.
like I said, we've been with our doctor for 20 plus years. He's given me his personal phone number before. I said, if you ever need me, just call me. So I didn't want to call him because I don't want to bother the guy, type thing. So I texted him, figured, okay, when he gets a chance, he'll see it, text him. But he called me back in about 10 minutes and told me he had contacted the pharmacy, the number I'd given him, close to where we were at in Austin, and they were going to refill the prescription. And I didn't have to go through, six voicemail messages, three clerks, and hope at some point he'd call me back. Thing,
Well, you know, I mean, Bob, that says a lot. First of all, to your physician, we talk about availability, affability, and ability. But, you know, access is really a challenge these days. And there's so many people that don't have what you have, a primary care doctor who knows you as a person. Who, you know, who, I mean, it's a dynamic of trust on both sides. I mean, he trusts you enough to know that if you've got a problem, he's going to call in your medicines. And so most people don't have that anymore. It's so difficult for
And that's
folks
why
to
I said,
find a
that's why
primary
I've been
care
with him for
doctor.
20 plus years, because I mean, it's just, that relationship, has been great. And he trusts
I tell
me
you
not to
what,
just
it's.
pass out his phone number and stuff like that.
Man, that's something to really treasure. And I'll tell you something for people to cultivate and nurture, you know, is to have that problem. You know, and the way our culture is nowadays, there's so many doctors that they'll go to a place for a couple of years and they move, and you know, and so or insurance may change and you may have to have another primary care doctor or a nurse practitioner or you know, whatever. And it's really hard to have that long-term relationship. But I'll tell you something really deep when you have that person who knows your history, you know what I'm saying, and knows not only about your medical problems, but kind of understands relationally who you are as a person and what your, what your healthcare goals is, what your life goals are. It really makes a huge difference.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, I don't know if you give some of your patients your personal phone number or not, but how do you build a business tree of trust?
Well, I think it takes time, like I was saying, availability, affability, ability, I kind of my three words are competence, doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, with the right team and the right preparation. I think that's important. So competence, compassion, Bob, people don't know, you'll see I was saying people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Really,
Amen.
I
Yeah.
think empathy is important. And then, and then your character, just doing the right thing in all situations. And, talk about a business tree, there's a lot of physicians, not a lot, I'm not saying all, but some physicians, they do things because it's better for them financially. You know what I'm saying? And it's all, we all have that tendency, especially in business or whatever, to try to, to try to fleece people or whatever. But really, it's not about selling things. It's not about serving. And I'll tell you, I've learned when I put that first, when I put the patient first, put that as priority, everything tends to take care of itself. Even in times, kind of having a practice that really is, like I said, I'm a dinosaur. Private practice is one of those things that is really getting increasingly hard to survive in. God's always provided when I've done the right thing.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I know there's one story in your book where you share a little bit about doing things the right way. I think it was a patient with a thyroid problem or something. Is that right? Do you remember the story
Yeah,
I'm
but
talking about?
it escapes me.
Okay.
I'll tell you though, I recently had a patient, and this is talking about trust. I recently had a lady with a huge substernal thyroid, and it really kind of scared me. I work in a place with limited resources, so it's always the issue of, well, who's going to be the best person to do this operation? And so anyway, I did her operation, and the operation was a success, but she didn't get better. And so, anyway, she's still having problems swallowing and trying to figure out, well, what's going on. So as I continued working her up, I found out that there was actually two pieces: the piece that I removed through her neck, and there was another piece that was around her, lodged around her aorta in her chest.
Oh,
And that was
wow.
something really that always we talk about trust. Doing the right thing, is that one of those things that I need to send her to a tertiary care center to do, to a heart surgeon who's going to be able to open up her chest or whatever? As we began to have conversations about that, and as I offered, her the opportunity, hey, I can send you to Houston, she ultimately opted to have it done here, in small town USA, small town Texas. And so here I am doing something that, definitely I'm trained to do, but probably would be better to have somebody who's a super subspecialist to do this. And we did it, and she did well, and she got better,
Yeah.
without any complications. But that's always kind of the thing I think that we struggle with in our businesses and our ministry is, but always trying to put the priority of, doing the right thing and putting the patient's, the patient's pro, you know, they prioritizing them above anything else. And I think when we do that, I think we're blessed. In this case, she ultimately made the decision to stay, and because that's the best way that we could serve her. And
Amen.
but anyway, but that's always one of those things that it always comes down to relationships. And like just going back to what you were talking about your primary care doctor, your primary care doctor knows you well enough to know what scenario is going to be the best for you in a particular situation. And I think that's where trust comes in. It's a two-way trust. And for physicians, sometimes it's a burden of trust that we kind of have to, because a lot of patients don't know. They don't know what's the right course of action. And sometimes it involves sitting down and listening and talking to people and really kind of feeling them out, kind of what are their priorities about things.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Tell us about your book, A Spoonful of Courage. When you first sent me this book prior to our prior interview 5 years ago, I remember I read it in one sitting. I mean, I could not put this thing down. It was that good. And can you share with us the format of that book?
Well, it's just little short stories. I've learned from my patients, and it's amazing how much I learn from their life lessons. And so these are just some of their life lessons and, what I've learned from them, and just little quick stories that people can read that are going through a health challenge, and they can, has a scripture verse and stuff that'll help them kind of give a different perspective, and kind of seeing the opportunities that our adversity, especially our health challenges, bring us. Bob, there's nothing like a loss of health to remind us that we're not in control.
Yeah,
There's
amen.
nothing like a change in our health status to kind of remind us that, that this delusion that we have, this self-perceived delusion that we have, that we're in control, and that we're the center of the universe. There's nothing like that to help kind of change our perspective. And so that's what this book was aimed at. But since then, I've
Amen.
written another book, and it really is not, it's not necessarily for Christians, although it kind of really is more about a Christian worldview, and understanding how medicine and everything fits into Christianity. There's a lot of people who are not Christians who don't really, they don't really know how to piece it all together. And I think even a lot of Christians do. So this kind of takes a step back. Bob, I believe that before we ever even open our Bibles, there's evidence that tells us that there's a God.
Yeah, amen.
You know what I'm saying? And it even involves science and our intuition and all those things. So we know that there's a God. So it kind of goes through these steps, and it's really it's a book that discusses equations. And
Yeah, I was gonna
this
say
is the
it's
book.
about equations, spoonful of courage, equations to find grace
Yeah,
in
so
life's
this is the book, and
challenges.
it kind of goes through equations, and so we have all these equations in our head, and we all kind of respond to our life events in different ways. And the first is kind of a victim mentality, where we think that the outcome of our lives is totally dependent upon the circumstances. And so the only thing we know is to change the circumstances, like, for example, in our health. Well, I've got this, and so the answer is just change the circumstances. And what we find is, ultimately, we can't change a lot of the circumstances that have already happened, So kind of the next level is those people who add their response, this and it's kind of a self-help kind of response, People who say, well, I can't change the circumstances, but I can change the way that I respond to my circumstances. And
Yeah,
in one
amen.
sense, that's very true. I mean, that we do have a role, we do have a responsibility, to take control of our situation. And so the problem with that, and even as a doctor, I've realized, I can do everything right, Bob. I can do everything right, and everything wrong happens, And in the reverse, I can do everything wrong sometimes and still have a good outcome. And so we know that there's another factor involved. And that's where I bring in the other factor of God. That's the third kind of way of thinking about life and in our circumstances. But, back to the equations, in that response things, there are people who are strong responders and people who are weak responders. There's the heroes and zeros,
Yep,
and there
amen.
are people who think that their responses are always inadequate, and the answer to every life challenge is, well, just suck it up and do better. There's always a new attitude or a new activity that you can do. But as we really think about our lives, ultimately we realize that in a sense they're the zeros, and maybe they're more honest than the heroes. They're the more people that know, hey, really, I've tried. I've tried. I see this every day. People that they've tried to be healthy, they've tried to do this, and they just end up in defeat. And ultimately, if we think about it, our responses are inadequate from God's perspective. We're never going to be adequate enough to merit, God's grace. We're never going to be good enough to face some of our life challenges. I know you have faced some life challenges with your health, and I've faced some life challenges where it didn't matter how strong of a response I could muster, never going to be able to make it. I'm never going to be able to have that outcome. And that's the point where we bring grace into our equation. So that's kind of the whole idea, is just being a grace responder and letting letting God do for us what we can't do for ourselves, you
Amen.
know?
Amen.
And that's kind of the whole kind of thought of this. And, you know, and just, you know, and there's so many people that are facing life challenges that, you know, they don't really know how where God fits into that, you know? And so that's kind of the whole kind of thrust of this book, is just to kind of, without using a Bible verse, you know, just kind of having something that people can read to go, oh, I see how God can fit into this. And then kind of, you know, in a sense, it is an apologetic. It talks about why we, you know, why do we even believe there's a God, you know, and how do we know those kind of things? And some of the things that people are kind of struggling with, I think, these days is, you know, what's real and what's not real. And so it's kind of a book to bring people back to understanding that, you know, this is God's world. He created an order that we have to live in. And, you know, so there is a reality, and then kind of dealing with, okay, how does God fit into all this? You know, so that's kind of the thrust of the book, is to kind of show us how grace fits in. And the whole equation, you know, everything else is a term, but grace is a factor. You know, factors, I'm no, man, in fact, I failed my first class in college, math, by the way. So anyway, yeah, that was the one thing that was going to keep me out of medical school. But, you know, the factors are multiply, and, you know, terms are just additive. And that's where grace comes in. And that's the whole point of the gospel, is that, you know, God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. And so that's kind of the whole thrust of the book. So
Amen.
It's a different
Amen.
Book. I've got some more work to do on it. It's kind of the title doesn't really express what the book's about. So I may give a new version on down the road. We'll see.
Amen. Amen. And you emphasize that people aren't alone when they're going through these things. I mean, when facing medical challenges, is that a normal reaction for people to feel alone, like nobody cares?
I think we all, in one sense, feel that. Don't you? I mean, often, you know, whatever life circumstance we're going through, we feel alone, we feel afraid, we feel helpless. And, you know, and in a sense, we kind of have that zero mentality, but that may be the best place that we could ever be, because ultimately we're either going to be in desperate, live in despair, or it's going to throw us ultimately to God. And you know, I think God puts us in those situations. Seems like to me every other day, just remind me that, hey, I do need God, you know? So I would say that, but yeah, I think there's a lot of people, like, you know, especially, you know, the first time you tell someone that they have cancer, man, that's one of those times when the room begins to spin and you begin to really feel alone. But God is, it's, you know, like Psalm 46 says, you know, God is our very present help in time of need, you know? And so ultimately we don't realize, you know, is that those obstacles, especially those health obstacles we face, are opportunities for God to begin to, you know, begin to be a very present help, but we have to ask for it. We have to look for it. And so that's the hard thing. So that's kind of what my writing helps people to do, is to see the possibilities in their problems.
Yeah, amen. If you could pick one story from either one of your books that inspired you the most, what story would that be?
Oh my goodness, that's really hard. You know, I would say one of my favorite stories, of course, my own personal story. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but about, you know, once again, kind of the setting. Primary, I'm a you know, dinosaur trying to keep this thing floating, this business floating. And one Friday afternoon, I was trying to head home. I was clicking buttons on the computer, and the computer, I heard this big shotgun blast, and the computer just went crazy. And, you know, like, I know you kind of mentioned you're kind of technologically challenged. Well, I'm really technologically challenged. And so I was frustrated, went outside, looked at the breaker, and everything looked fine. And ultimately, I went home on Friday afternoon. And as I was driving home, I got this call from the emergency room. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not on call in the emergency room. Why are they calling me? So the nurse said, no, wait, it's not a medical problem. Your building's on fire.
Mm.
So I drove back, and my building was just, you know, going up in flames, and everything that I'd worked for and put my security in, I think, was gone there in about an hour.
Mm.
And, we all have these life events where just things change just like that. And in that moment, the fire marshal kind of allowed me to go into the to the building and look around. And there was a stairwell that was there where I pray, and I'm kind of prayer. Not only am I technologically challenged, I'm prayer challenged. And so I would pray in the stairwell, and I would kind of get in the on the on the steps of the stairs and kind of go up. And when I get restless, I could take another step up. And I kind of wonder if that stairwell was still going to be there. And there were four things I found in that stairwell that just really gave me courage. One was this old black doctor's bag, and like the old timey doctor's bag that the doctors used to carry. And it kind of reminded me that although my practice was going to change, God still had a purpose for me in what I was doing in my business tree we've been talking about. The second thing was a Bible. I had this Bible that had been I got it, from World Medical Mission, which is Samaritan's Purse, and it had been signed by Franklin Graham. I was so, I used it when I prayed. And what was interesting is that old Bible was just covered in soot and black. But as I opened it up, I realized the pages were still there. Those words in red were still there. And I realized that, Bible was still there. And, God's word is those principles, those promises are there, and they can endure any fire, any storm. And then at the top of the stairwell, kind of where it turns, there was pictures of my kids that my wife had made, and the fire had changed the images, and they were kind of grayish looking. And I realized at that moment that there were still people that I needed to impact. And of course, my
Amen.
family was the most and the most people that I really kind of need to refocus on, being a real role model and influence in their lives. And at the top, there was this cross. And the cross, my wife had made this beautiful wall where it kind of comes up to this little room where I can catch a nap every once in a while. And this cross, it was just the wall was just burned and charred and hideous. This cross looked terrible. And but when I took that cross off the wall, there was this, I mean, there was this beautiful stained wood in the setting of that charred black wall. And I just thought to myself, wow, I think that's the purpose sometimes of our suffering. We're never going to understand why things happen, on this side of eternity. We're never going to understand all that, but yet God has a purpose for it. And I really think the purpose is ultimately to show, make us, trophies of his grace, just to display to the universe, his children, what he's done in and through our lives. It's not about us, but just to show that we're, of what he's done in our lives, even in the tough things, the perplexing things that we can't really wrap our minds around. We know that God is doing those things, and that's what God promises.
Amen.
So that's
Amen.
for me one of the one was one of the big what was one of the big changes. And I still don't really understand why that happened in my life. I know there's a lot of people that go through health crises. I know that you went through some health challenges, and I don't think we're ever going to understand that. But yeah, God has a purpose for it. And if we just trust him and keep going, we can rebuild our lives stronger and better than ever. My practice has been different.
Yeah, amen.
And one of those things I think that I put my security in that maybe I was holding a little bit too loosely. And yet, God is continuing to, to help me keep this thing going.
Amen. I remember one story from the first book that I still remember this day. I tell people this story whenever it pops into my mind while we're talking about something. And I want you to share the story about the old farmer that kept giving himself an electric shock to get his heart beating right.
Cardioversion. Man, this is we're deep in the woods here in East Texas, and so we see all this crazy stuff. But there's this old farmer, this old rancher, and he his old farm was kind of wearing out, and the corral, the boards were falling off. And so instead of fixing his corral, he I guess he didn't anticipate living very long. He started putting up this electric wire around the fence, and so he'd go out and feed his cows in the corral every morning. And one day he got out there and he was just feeling, kind of weak and tired, and just kind of out of the ordinary tired. And he was, putting out feed cubes for his cows. And he accidentally grazed that electric wire, and it shocked him, and it threw him to the ground. And man, when he got up off the ground, he kind of brushed the dirt off his, his old overalls, and he realized, hey, I feel a little better. So this kind of went on, and it happened again, and he same thing happened. He started feeling better, and it's kind of odd. So after this happened several times, the old farmer took the electric wire and he put it through his kitchen, and he and so every morning he'd get up like you and me, had their coffee, and he'd touch that wire, and he called it his shock therapy. So this kind of went on for a while and ultimately ended up in the hospital. He got really sick, and the doctor asked him, well, how long have you been having this problem? Looking at his EKG. And the old farmer confessed his, what he'd been doing. And the cardiologist was in shock, because what the farmer was doing is when he's touching that wire, he was cardioverting his heart. What I'm saying? He was shocking his heart back into rhythm. He was in atrial fibrillation. And what the old farmer didn't know could definitely hurt him, because when you do that, when you shock your heart in an uncontrolled setting, sometimes you press the control alt delete the delete button, and just the heart stops and it never starts again, so just kind of funny how sometimes we do those things. And kind of, I guess, the spiritual kind of take home with that is that we need to come to the great physician. Ultimately, we do
Amen.
need good doctors, and we do need good doctors who know what they're doing, but ultimately the real healing comes from the great physician. And so often, our heart gets out of rhythm and we don't know it, and we start looking for remedies that may or may not be of, real benefit to us. And we try to do our home remedies, and I'm a surgeon, I'm kind of the world worst, I do as I say, not as I do, but I think, kind of coming to the great physician, understanding that ultimate healing and ultimate health and ultimate well-being comes from God.
Amen. 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 I also found out that you also have your own TV program now. Amen. Congratulations on that.
Yeah,
Share a little bit about that.
I'm doing some TV pod to TV programs and stuff. I'm kind of in limbo right now, but hopefully trying to pick that up. Right now, I'm just trying to do a set of devotions, for people that they can sign up for, and just trying to get back to, to trust. I'm going to start bringing out some videos and stuff that kind of look at the framework of health, and kind of talking about this concept of be, think, and do. So often when you read books about health, it's all about doing, or maybe some attitudes, but really for the Christian, it goes even deeper than that. It goes to our very being, that we're eternal, that we're personal, we're physical. All of these components come together. And so often, I think even Christians, we just have this mixed framework of things, and we're trying to piecemeal together health and well-being. We don't understand why it's not working.
Amen.
So that's kind of one of the goals that I plan to get to eventually. But for now, it's just devotions. And the thing that I'm we're hopefully will be given to folks is just a link for a free ebook that kind of discusses some of those stories you mentioned. But also there's a sign up for just sign up for our devotionals that we give out probably every couple of weeks, something like that.
Amen. Amen. Now, like I said, we're almost out of time. Talk about that special offer that you're giving our listeners again.
Well, it's for free, first of all. And once again, we're talking about trust. And one of the things I've really been kind of trying to work on is, once again, trying to serve people and not sell them something. So the link that you'll get that they'll get, I mean, they have the option to take the free ebook and it's theirs for free, or they can sign up for the link. I'm really trying not to manipulate people. I'm saying as much as I think sometimes we try to do, people sign up for our list and, for a free giveaway. And I really kind of want to separate those two things and just see if people, and just serve people however they need it. I'm saying if they need a free ebook, if they need devotions, kind of doing it that way. And that's kind of where I'm kind of moving in my business tree as an author and as a speaker and stuff, is letting God, just trusting God and letting God be, determine the outcome of these things. And so that's kind of what I'm I want people to get today is just,
Amen.
I want to serve them, not sell them something.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. Folks, I've read A Spoonful of Courage through a couple of times. It's not just a good book. It's a great book. Okay. You really, really need to get a copy of that book in your hands. In fact, I'd order two or three. I guarantee once you read it, you'll want to share it. I mean, it's absolutely no doubt in my mind. You'll want to give it to someone you know. It's that good. Amen. And be sure to click the link for Spoonful of Courage Equations to find grace in life's challenges. Don't let that word equation scare you, okay? the first time
you,
I read that title, I was
challenge.
Like, oh, no, no algebra. We're out of here. that title might scare somebody. But no, it's good stories in there, too. Amen, amen. Matter of fact, we got just a minute or so. Share about the story in that book about the nail that you had to pull out of someone's neck.
Oh, the nail in the neck. So, it's interesting. I had this guy came in with a nail in his neck and everybody kind of passed it off. And ultimately, sometimes I'm the end of the line. And this guy was really frustrated, because everybody come in, look at the nail. They did all these CAT scans and somebody ultimately had to pull out the nail. But, it's one of those things where, as we're going through things, sometimes we really have to think things through. And so often in medicine or in life or in our life events, sometimes we just want to have that knee jerk reaction. There's the nail, just pull it out. Well, if you pull out that nail in the emergency room, sometimes that can be catastrophic because blood begins to build up in the neck and then you don't have time to get them to surgery and you have to, do all these kind of things. So don't want to, scare your audience. But so anyway, here I was with this nail in the neck and we kind of went through the process of, how do we approach this? And so, in kind of the illustrations, how do we approach life? And so often, like I talked about in the book, people approach it as a victim. They see everything that happens to them through victim lenses, or they see it as themselves as zeros, where they, their response are totally inadequate, or they see themselves as the hero. And we surgeons are the worst at this. We think that we're the answer to, all life's problems. And what a false sense of what a false assumption. And so really looking at life through the sense of the lenses of grace, I think is really kind of the whole idea of the book. But it begins with looking at our presuppositions. A lot of times we face a life challenge and we, for better or for worse, we do the best that we know how. And so kind of this whole idea of this book is to give people tools to help them to be able to navigate their problems, not just their health challenges, but all of life events in a different way. And of course, the ultimate tool is the tool of grace, where God empowers us to do what we can't do for ourselves.
Amen. Amen. And you did get the nail out of the neck.
I did, but I had to take him to surgery, and I'm glad I did because it had went through the backside of his jugular vein. We would have had problems if we had did it in the emergency room.
Or he'd done it at home.
He
said he wanted to do it at home.
And by the way, the guy was mad because the hospital wouldn't give him the nail.
why is that? Why wouldn't they give him the nail?
It was his nail, I mean, I tell you, I'd have been mad too,
Yeah. That made me go through all this and you're not even giving me my nail? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Drop down the show notes. Reach out to Dr. Charles Page, the links provided. And be sure to take him up on his free offer. Praise God. But click the link, order a complete copy of A Spoonful of Courage and A Spoonful of Courage Equations to Find Grace in Life's Challenges. After you read it, pass them along. Make somebody else's day. I mean, these books will put a smile on your face, I guarantee it. Dr. Chuck, I do appreciate your time for taking time from your medical practice to sit down with us and talk about these great books. Let's not wait 5 years till we do it again. Amen.
It's a pleasure, Bob. And it's amazing how quick time passes. I think COVID caught us all by surprise, didn't it?
Yeah, amen. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Dr. Charles Page, myself, Pastor Bob, reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
You have been listening to the Faith-Based Business Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. We appreciate you as a listener and fellow believer and want to encourage you in your entrepreneurial efforts. These programs are designed to provide you with information that you can use in your business to achieve success faster and avoid the obstacles that try to impede your success. All information on this podcast is for entertainment and information use only. Some of the products and services listed in the links may contain affiliate links, and Pastor Bob will earn a small commission when you click those links at no additional cost to you. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you'll be notified when our next episode is published. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.